Vice President, General Counsel of GA2A, which is formerly GeorgiaCarry.org. John, good morning. We're glad that you took the time to join us. Thank you for your time this morning. We'll get to John just a second here on Extra 106.3. So many questions for him when it comes to...
there he is.
Oh, yeah. John, you there?
Yep.
Right on, man. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We've got a dozen things going on this morning, but we're delighted that you are spending time with us. Tell us a little bit about GA2A, formerly GeorgiaCarry.org. What are folks who are Second Amendment advocates and supporters of the Second Amendment, what do they need to know about your organization?
So we were formed about 12 years ago. We advocate for fostering the rights of Georgians to keep and bear arms. We lobby at the legislature almost all of the changes that have improved gun rights over the years in Georgia have been introduced or sponsored by us. We also do litigation. We've sued the city of Atlanta. We've sued other cities in Fulton County. We've sued probate judges all over the state who refuse to issue weapons carry licenses. So we're out there protecting the rights of Georgians to keep and bear arms.
John, I wanted to ask you this, and let's start with what they're trying to do in the framework that the Senate is trying to put in place. The 10 Republicans that are going along with this, do you think this is a bad idea for the Republicans to even join in, or do you think that maybe we can find some kind of bipartisan deal that won't infringe on our Second Amendment rights?
Well, I don't think it hurts to have a conversation. What they've released so far, though, doesn't encourage me much. I mean, the things they're talking about just don't sound like they're going to help. Giving money to the states for red flag laws doesn't make much sense. Just for people who don't know, red flag laws are a system whereby somebody, a neighbor, friend, relative, the police, go to a judge and say, hey, I think this guy is a danger to himself or others. We should take his guns away. The idea being that he's so dangerous he can't have guns, but he's not so dangerous that it's okay for him to be out and about in society driving a car. We don't take away his knives. We don't take away his gasoline, his diesel fuel, his ammonium nitrate, but we do take away his guns. Yeah. The problem with all these things is they focus on the guns and not on the people. It's the people that are pulling the trigger that we need to look at.
Yeah, no, and Rhino and I talk about that here on the Morning Extra all the time, that, like, the control that's sitting in front of me. If I don't use it, if I don't push the power button, the TV will stay off. The pen that I'm holding, if I don't use it to write something down, nothing gets written. It's very similar to the way a gun works. But that's, you know, you talk about the red flag laws, and we've brought up the clear issues with red flag laws and the concerns that people have, due process being the main one, that you don't have due process in that situation, which is unconstitutional to begin with.
Right.
So, yeah, that's one of those things that I feel like that folks need to realize when they hear red flag laws. On the surface, sometimes they sound like they're okay, but it seems like it's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, and a lot of them are on an ex parte basis, meaning that the person who's the subject of the conversation is not even there in court.
Right.
Or in other instances is given a very short time, because they think these hearings need to happen quickly, given a very short time to prepare a case, find a lawyer, find out the evidence, and all those kinds of things. It's the deck is stacked against the subject of the red flag law.
Yeah, John Monroe joining us here on the Morning Extra. He is with GA2A. He's the Vice President and General Counsel, formerly GeorgiaCarry.org. You began shooting at 11, became a competitive shooter at 15. You also served as a police officer. In your experience, and I did this yesterday where I broke down actual states with red flag laws, and California being one of the strictest gun laws. I said they don't work. One reason why: the highest average of gun homicides. 22 cities in California alone had a higher rate of gun homicides than the city of Atlanta, who has no red flag laws. And then we went to New York. There were 5 cities there, 4 cities in New Jersey, 3 cities in Connecticut. Do these red flag laws actually help in any way whatsoever, or is this just an attack on people who want to be good citizens and carry?
No, they don't help. I mean, taking away guns from people that are just suspected of being dangerous is kind of like the movie The Minority Report, where you try to predict who might commit a crime and then punish them ahead of time.
Yeah, and this is a slippery slope because I said it yesterday. I said, look, the first time that somebody looks at a social media post and sees either a minority, whether they're black, brown, whatever they are, with a weapon, and they pull it away from it, it's going to become a race issue, that this was done on race. It's a really dangerous slope for the Democrats.
Yeah, there's really nothing good that can be said about red flag laws. They take away guns from people that don't need to have them taken away. And they don't address the underlying issue of, you know, mental health issues, people with, you know, with anger issues and things like that. Those people need, need to be addressed, and the red flag laws don't do anything to do that.
Yeah. So in your opinion, we're talking to John Monroe. He is VP and general counsel of GA2A. In your opinion, is the Democrats' ultimate goal and the left, is it their ultimate goal to get rid of the Second Amendment altogether?
Oh, absolutely. Some of them have said that if they could, they'd repeal the Second Amendment. It's, you know, widely reported that Ted Cruz's opponent down in Texas said that the goal is to take away AR-15s. Mm-hmm. The goal is to seize guns, banish guns, do whatever they can to get rid of guns, and they just try to do it one step at a time.
And it's amazing how uneducated they are. You think they'd be more educated about guns and what a handgun is and the fact that my XDM carries just as many as, you know, a AR-15 or even my M1 Garand from World War II. But one of the things that is going to pull on everybody's heartstrings is always going to be a school shooting. And none of us, not you, not myself, not anyone, ever wants to see a child murdered in any way. In fact, we carry guns to protect that. But the fact of the matter is it does happen. What is the response to you guys on what we need to do for school security? Do you believe that we should have teachers trained? Do you believe we should have officers, or do we make it so that the schools are completely secure?
Absolutely, we should have teachers and administrators trained and permitted to carry weapons. That actually has been the law in Georgia for quite some time, and then it was strengthened a few years ago so that there are actually two different avenues for teachers and administrators to be allowed to carry. But very few school districts in Georgia have taken advantage of that opportunity. If you just think of most of the school shootings that have happened, especially the recent tragic one in Uvalde, where a gunman was allowed to remain in school for well over an hour. Yeah. Just think if some of the administrators or teachers in that school had been armed, the outcome could have been very different.
Okay. Why do you think that, because there are several states, I think, Rhino, you said 28 yesterday that had states that allows the teachers or administrators, someone to be gone. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, yeah, that was a different story.
I'm sorry. I don't want to mix it up. Then I want to make sure our facts are correct.
But Ohio just passed a law.
Right. To your point, though, John, why do you feel like that Georgia has not taken advantage of having teachers or administrators or people who are comfortable with guns, used maybe their former police, former military, whatever the case may be? Why do you think that's not happening in the state of Georgia?
Well, I mean, the state allows it. So the decision is being made at the local level, either by the school board or in another version of the law by a school principal. The only thing I can think of is they're concerned. You know, a lot of people in that area may not really be into guns, and they don't like the idea of the non-professionals, meaning non-law enforcement, carrying guns in the school. But I don't know. I haven't heard any individual administrators give an explanation of why they don't do it. But it's certainly an out there that that could be taken better advantage of. The law allows it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely get the school resource officers at least trained and in those schools. John Monroe joining us. He's the vice president and general counsel for GA2A. You know it as GeorgiaCarry.org. Of course, you can always go to GeorgiaCarry.org. It'll bring you directly to that. I want to ask you, I love what Brian Kemp did. I love the fact, listen, I'm still going to go ahead and get my license and carry it so that I can go across state lines. But at the same time, I love that I don't have to have it here in the state. Should we be afraid whatsoever that this might go away in the state? I mean, as long as Brian Kemp becomes governor, but if Stacey Abrams becomes governor, it's going to be a really scary slope. What can you guys do to help make sure that we're able to carry constitutionally?
So we've got a couple of things. First of all, we have a legislature that in its current form is highly unlikely to pass anything to reimpose the Jim Crow requirement to have a license just for people's education. The license requirement was passed in 1910 as a result of the Atlanta race riots, and it was done to keep the hands out of keep guns out of the hands of minorities. But anyway, we've got a legislature that currently, its current makeup is not likely to repeal that. If Stacey Abrams is not elected, we probably won't have a governor that would sign such legislation. So what we need to do is vote. Keep the legislature composed the way it is. Keep the governorship composed the way it is. And it's really nearly impossible that it would get repealed.
There you go. We appreciate your time this morning. John Morgan, Vice President, General Counsel, GA2A, formerly GeorgiaCarry.org. Make it a great day, and since we're so close to the weekend, have a great weekend, sir.
All right, thank you, too.
Yes,
thank
sir. You. Absolutely. Glad to have him on. Congratulations to Laura Vandercreek.
All right, Laura.
From Atlanta, she's going to see the Zac Brown Band. Nice. She knew that Zac's bus, the one he purchased in